Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. Whoever you are, I know we all have one thing in common. We all want to know the truth about what's really going on in this crazy year of 2020. So, folks, stay tuned. Hey, my engineer, he didn't turn the volume down on that. I'm sorry. But I welcome you to the 461st edition of SDG, Soul of Day of Glory. And the title of today's message, the coronavirus protests, mostly for riots, and liberty and justice for all. And later in this message, we're going to tie it all into Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, which reads, "Art thou for us or our adversaries?" And he said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." So we're going to build on what we covered last week concerning freedom not being free. But the bottom line, folks, is that we all of us deserve liberty and justice. Amen? All of us do. This isn't a black versus white or a rich versus poor thing. So what's really going on here in this scamdemic and these mostly peaceful riots? What's going on with these cries from all these people in the streets saying, and by the way, they're well-funded rioters who are saying, no justice, no peace. Well, be sure to stay tuned to find out as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 crisis. And that's what it is, folks. It's a crisis, just like 9/11, except this time it's unfolding in slow motion while on steroids.
It's a scamdemic. They call it the great equalizer. And say we're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus ice and just say they know that all their lies are mind control. The coronavirus, COVID-19, black oil, pandemic.
So let's get started with Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And Sister Kathy, I can't thank you enough for sending me all this information, and I do get a lot from you. So let's open with this one here. CDC admits COVID-19 positive results just mean you've previously contracted the common cold. Now, there's a couple sites out there that have been covering this information, but we're going to go right to the source, which is cdc.gov, and I'm going to read you two quotes right from their website concerning the test being administered today. Here's one, and this one should open your eyes, folks. A positive test result shows that you may have antibodies from an infection with the virus that causes COVID-19. However, there is a chance a positive result means that you have antibodies from an infection with a virus from the same family of viruses called coronaviruses. Now get this next part. Such as one that comes from the common cold. Folks, this is on the CDC website. I'm not making this stuff up. It's there. I took this clip off CDC website. Can you believe that? And listen to the second one. This one is also kind of crazy. You may test positive for antibodies even if you have never had symptoms of COVID-19. This can happen if you had an infection without symptoms, which is called an asymptomatic infection. Did you hear that, folks? That's right on the CDC website. Asymptomatic. If you look that up in an old index, medical index like Merck, you're going to be appalled by what it says. So isn't it kind of crazy that this horrible killer is so awful that you may not even know you had it? And you hear how they're doing some of these new hotspot reports with regard to the incident rates? Well, they're not just counting people that possibly tested positive for the COVID-19 virus, but maybe they just had a common cold. If they're at a gathering with 100 people and the contact tracers establish that there were, in fact, 100 people at that gathering, they don't count the incident rate as one. They count it as 100. And this is happening in Texas, Pennsylvania, and many of these other states. So I have to ask myself, and I'm asking you, what's going on here? Isn't this crazy? And then let me read you something from a box of face masks that I saw at Walmart 2 weeks ago. It says, warning, this is an ear loop mask. This product is not a respirator and will not, it's kind of difficult to read this picture, provide any protection against COVID-19, coronavirus, or any other viruses or contaminants. Wearing this mask will not reduce the risk of contracting any disease or infection. Now, I went back this week because I was going to buy one of the boxes, and they still sell them, but they changed it on there now to simply say, this mask should not be used for medical conditions. So I think maybe people are waking up. Can only pray. Isn't this crazy? So in the middle of all this hypocrisy, okay, from the CDC and our public service, and don't even get me going on destruction of public trust, okay? That's perhaps a message for another week, provided the Lord's willing. But I think we're having public trust undermined here. I go up to the local Walmart in Katanning, and I'm appalled by the fear I see on people's faces. So I read to you on the box that this has nothing to do with the control of disease. It's all about the control of people. It's all about compliance. So listen to this story. I stumbled on this one. COVID-19 cure protocol. Physician treats coronavirus patients with 100% success rate. Is this crazy? So this doctor, Dr. Richard Bartlett, he's a physician and a medical director from Midland, Texas. And this guy has been well respected. Oh, I have an alarm going off here. Okay, we're good. Good to go, folks. So this Dr. Bartlett, he served for 7 years on the governor's advisory board in Midland, from Midland, Texas. This is a respected physician, and he has a simple coronavirus protocol that is got two steps to it. First, if you suspect you've been infected, you get tested, and you're not sure. You know, I talked about the fact that this could just be the RNA fragments that they're detecting from a common cold, but get tested as soon as possible and get treated early. That's his point. Get treated early. And then the protocol, you're going to get blown away how simple this protocol is, and 100% success rate. And he's also explaining, and I'm going to play the clip in a few minutes here. He explains that this steroid medication, budesonide, is aspirated into your lungs with a simple nebulizer, like what people use when they have asthma. In fact, that's what this is. It's an asthma medicine. It's a steroid medicine. It gets deep into your lungs at the source of the infection, reduces inflammation, and allows the body to heal. So I have a clip taken from American Week Can We Talk with Debbie Jortados. And her website is AmericaCanWeTalk.org. She has a really good Facebook page with the same name, America Can We Talk. Let me read to you her description of what she does. So this is a show with a mission. Speaks for the extraordinary, unique greatness of America. And here we have a physician who had an open mind and found a second cure, not just the hydroxyquinone, was it? Or hydroquinone? But he has this other, this steroid that's working a great success rate. And she pulls these people into the spotlight and allows these insightful guests from all different perspectives to share and inspire her listeners. And that's what she does. So listen to this. It's a rather long clip. It's almost 6 minutes, but it's well worth listening to. It's a segment out of the roughly 30-minute interview, and I downloaded this because I suspect this one's going to disappear.
So I mentioned at the start of the show, we have a guest joining us. This is kind of a funny thing. I'll just tell you a true story. So last night, there was a political event. I moderated a panel that was speaking at a political event. And afterward, I met someone who had attended the event, is a doctor here in Texas, and not in Dallas, but in Midland, Texas. And he has been working also dealing with COVID-19 patients, coronavirus patients. The article is up again on our website, AmericaCanWeTalk.org. An article about him is called "Local Doctor Believes He Has Found Silver Bullet for COVID-19. We had a great conversation after the meeting last night. And on the spot, I said, why don't you come into my show tomorrow? And gratefully, he was available. So here you have, we have joining us in studio, our new friend, Dr. Richard Bartlett. Hello, sir.
Debbie, I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
I'm grateful you could be here, and I would love to just have you dive right in. Since I don't really know you, have you start with telling our listeners about your medical background.
Well, I've been practicing in Texas for 28 years. When Governor Perry started a new task force called the Health Disparities Task Force, he asked me to be on that task force. And the purpose was to give him advice so that all Texans can have access to quality health care. And that was a two-year appointment. After 2 years, he asked me, would you stay on one more year? And so that happened year after year for a total of 7 years. And a lot of good things happened. But I also have been the medical expert for CBS affiliate in West Texas for over 20 years. And I do a regular weekly update on COVID on the Talk 550 AM talk radio in West Texas. And we've been doing that since the beginning of this drama.
Wow, okay.
And so I'm also an author and do medical missions in other countries. And so I've seen a lot of disaster all over the world. But I want to say, echo everything you said in your first 5 minutes. I agree 100%. We already have an answer for this. And to put things in perspective, let's look around the world. In the country of Taiwan, there's over 25 million people. They're stacked on top of each other. If they did social distancing, they'd be out in the ocean floating around.
Yeah.
There's not enough room for them to do social distancing. But guess how many people have died to date during the whole pandemic in Taiwan? 7. As many people
wow.
as you can stack in a minivan going down Central Expressway. And so the next time your viewers see a minivan, think, oh, that's how many people have died in a country of 24 million people.
That
now
is
I'm going to tell you. Yes, and I'm going to tell you why that's the situation. It's the situation also in Japan, 121 million people in Japan. They've had less than 1,000 people die during the whole pandemic. Singapore, only 12 people have died in the whole country during the whole pandemic. Iceland, well, that's not possible according to what we're being told in the mainstream media, but that's reality. Anyone can look it up. You can even look at the Johns Hopkins COVID website, and you'll see those numbers. They're hidden in there, but I'm pointing them out because the people in Texas need to hear good news. In Dallas, they need to hear good news, and I have good news.
I'm sure you do. Before I'm blown away by those numbers. I gave up trying to write them down. But you're going to tell us somehow eventually where we get to this point that in these other countries
they're doing what I'm doing, Debbie.
Okay.
They're doing what I'm doing, which is not hydroxychloroquine, although that works. And so what they're doing is an inhaled steroid. And so my silver bullet is inhaled budesonide. The brand name originally was Pulmicort. Now it's generic. It's super cheap. It's about $200 for the total treatment if you pay cash. With insurance, many of my patients are not even having to pay for it. And you use a nebulizer machine. It's an asthma medicine. It's a respiratory anti-inflammatory for COVID, which is a respiratory inflammatory disease. And it works. 100% of my patients are alive. I've been treating this since March. And you use it for 5 minutes. So it takes 5 minutes to do a breathing treatment. You plug it in the machine in the wall. You put the medicine that's pre-mixed, pre-measured from the pharmacy into the little reservoir. You push the on button and you breathe it during 5 minutes
you
during the commercial.
You just have a mask in your face and breathe.
You don't even have to have a mask. You can use a little mouthpiece that you hold in front of you,
okay. And
you breathe it for 5 minutes. And I have. Let me tell you what I've heard from patients when I started using this. They tell me, I feel better during the first treatment. And so their chest pain goes away. Their shortness of breath goes away. their fever breaks. I'll give you an example. I have a patient who has two kinds of cancer. She calls me after 5 days of being flat on her back in the house, in the bed, can't get out of bed, fever won't break for 5 days. She says, I heard you on the radio, and would you please help me? It's on a Friday. She says, my granddaughter tested positive today, and I think I have it. And I said, I'm sure you do with all the symptoms you're describing. She is currently fighting two forms of lymphoma. She's on chemotherapy right now. She just had radiation a month before for the lymphoma. She should die, according to what you hear from the CDC and World Health Organization. But I gave her that treatment that night. In the morning, her fever had broke. She had her first good night's sleep. Over the weekend, she recovers. On Monday, she works an eight-hour day. She still is fighting cancer, two forms of cancer, but she's cured of COVID. She's symptom-free. She has her two consecutive negative tests. That's a cure.
Okay, can you say the name of the drug again?
Budesonide.
Budesonide. And so is it done in an inhaler?
I go on and on with that, but it's an excellent interview. If you need a link to that clip, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com. Folks, we need to get this word out. So if you're listening to this show, spread it out to your friends. Even if they don't want to hear the scripture at the end, at least get the news to them. The truth will set you free. And if you go on this truth pursuit, I guarantee at the end of it, you're going to find Jesus. But he's not the only doctor out there doing this, folks. The head Stanford's Epidemiology Center. This man is well-respected, Dr. John Ioannidis, okay? He comes out and he talks about the dangers of these shutdowns, when you have 1.1 billion people at risk of starvation because the supply chain is shutting down. I don't know if you know this, folks, but if your refrigerator breaks right now, the lead time on a refrigerator, if it's not on the floor at the box stores or at your local appliance store, is about a month and a half. Now, that you're not going to starve to death, but your way of life is going to be impacted. But this type of delay because of this COVID crisis around the world has affected supply chains from refrigerators to pork products to all sorts of other manufactured goods. It's having an impact, folks, and that's the point. So here's the head of epidemiology at Stanford University. He's saying not only is there a threat to 1.1 billion people of starvation around the world because of this supply chain disruption, but these isolations, these lockdowns, they're having an effect on the herd immunity, as you call it. And I hate that term. Sounds like goyim, doesn't it? Anyways, the countries that haven't practiced this actually have had lower incident rates, and they're actually getting back to life more quickly. I think the key here is that we need to think about this rationally. And then you have to ask, who benefits? Cui bono? Why are they doing this? They literally destroyed this economy. Now, I know it was on shaky ground because of the phony money and all that other stuff. But the point I'm trying to make here is that this is a planned destruction. And then did you hear about Melinda Gates and her big concern for the next phase of COVID-19? This was out of Time magazine. Now, Melinda Gates said, and this is a direct quote, the first people that need this vaccine are the 60 million healthcare workers around the world. They deserve to get it before anybody else. They deserve to get it. There's a lot said in that sentence, huh? Then you start testing. Then she was asked, who needs it after the healthcare workers? And this is a direct quote from Melinda Gates. In the U.S., that would be the black people next. But quite honestly, many other people of color, they are having disproportionate effects from COVID-19. From here, people with underlying health conditions and then people who are older. Those are the ones who all need it first. We also need to think about the essential workers who are keeping our grocery stores open for us so we can buy food, or who are making sure that food moves through the warehouses. Did you hear that? This is absolutely crazy. So if you read that, would you say that she's saying after the healthcare workers, the black community ought to get it? So another news source picked it up, and they quoted her directly on the first quote. And then instead of continuing with the second quote, they said, and then she says black people must get it next. And then USA Today comes out and does a quote unquote fact check and says that isn't true because that word must was in there. That's called pedantic, folks. That's nitpicking. And that's a way, so people will see USA Today, facts check, not true. Melinda Gates did not say blacks must get it next. Well, that's true. She didn't say blacks must get it next. She said, in the U.S., that would be black people next. I think that's a matter of semantics, folks. I think it's very clear what's going on here. So the very people that she claims she loves, she's targeting for all of the side effects. Do you realize these vaccines are what are called mutagenic drugs? Now, a mutagen is something that changes your DNA. Do you know something that changes your DNA? Cancer. So they're putting cancer-causing components into these drugs. And they're doing that because they think that it'll be able to have a rapid response in your immune system to any of these infections. Wow. And then did you hear about Kanye West? I don't know if you heard about him. Now, I don't know what you think about him, but he has a huge bully pulpit. And I don't know what you think about AJ, Alex Jones, but this is about a 3 minute and 50 second clip from Alex Jones. And he's basically talking about Kanye West and what Kanye is coming out and saying against all of this. So just take a listen and form your own opinion on this.
My phone's been ringing off the hook. I'm getting a ton of email. Callers are calling in talking about Kanye running for president. Is he for real? I think he's for real making that announcement that he's considering it so he has a bigger bully pulpit to challenge not just the Democrats but also the Republicans on issues he thinks are really important. And boy, is he knocked it out of the park. He is dead on talking about Bill Gates and Fauci and the NIH owning the majority of the stock and the patents for these dangerous vaccines. And Bill Gates coming out and saying 700,000 people will probably get sick or maybe even die from this vaccine. Kanye West is seeing all of this, and he also knows, as much of the black community awakens to this, that Planned Parenthood was founded by the Rockefellers and Margaret Sanger, and that she was actually the tutor to Adolf Hitler, and that she was worshipped by the KKK. And so when Kanye comes out and says white supremacists behind Planned Parenthood doing devil's work and the media attacks him, it's totally and completely true. That's why so many prominent black leaders have actually come out and said Black Lives Matter doesn't represent me, saying they want to get rid of the nuclear family when that's so bad for children statistically. I think the establishment has jumped the shark. And having Kanye West come out and expose the forced inoculation, mark of the beast control system, tied to being able to buy and sell, and seeing him come out against the white supremacists, it's beyond white supremacists, it's globalist eugenicist roots that are going after everybody, but particularly black people. This is what we need. This is true liberation. This is true empowerment for everybody. So a few months ago when Kanye West came out and talked about going Alex Jones on everybody, he was basically warning people that he's not going to have his ideas shackled, and he's going to do his own research, and he's going to warn the people because he doesn't want to be part of this Mark of the Beast world government. That is powerful stuff. That's maverick activity, and that scares the hell out of the New World Order. And I hope it gets Trump's attention so that he'll start exposing Fauci and the NIH and all the scams they're running. Because Trump isn't invested in these vaccines, but Fauci and the rest of that group he's got in there are. And they're all a bunch of Democrats that, again, supported Hillary, supported Obama, and support depopulating Africa. And as the truth about this comes out, it is really starting to blow up the face of the New World Order. So this is a very, very exciting time to be alive and to research what Kanye has talked about because it's true, and to take action against the real modern Nazis that we face in the year 2020. The COVID-19 system is about a world government takeover, about a world ID to buy and sell, about tracker apps on your phones proving you've had the vaccines before you're allowed to leave your house. This is total world government medical tyranny exploding on the scene, where you can't buy or sell or go to a job or go out and enjoy a night at a restaurant or wherever, or go to a sporting event, unless Big Pharma has put in your body what they want to put in you. So, Kanye's gone from being somebody I respected and somebody who I admired his music and some of his courage to being a hero now, because believe me, with what he said and what he's done, he's striking at the heart of the beast, and he is really going to come under attack. So let's pray for Kanye West, and let's hope that more people, common folks, up to people like Kanye West, understand the big picture and take action. This is a big deal, and it's part of the tipping point, and we salute Kanye West.
All I can say is, well said, Alex Jones. Things are heating up, folks. Last night on PBS, there was a special on fake news. I don't know if you caught it, but they opened with Alex Jones in the Sandy Hook debacle. You know, Alex Jones was actually brought up on charges by the families because of his position that was a crisis actor event. And I have downloaded the depositions of Alex Jones, and he does come under a lot of heat for that. And I don't know why he folded on that, because there was documented proof that CNN was playing games with some of the reports, just like they did with the Scud missile attacks back in the Gulf War, and just like they do so many times. And there were crisis actors involved. That's been documented. Now, I'm not saying people weren't killed. I'm not saying children weren't brutalized and shot. But I'm saying there was a certain element to that entire Sandy Hook that was rigged for the viewing audience, so to speak. Almost like a kabuki theater, like I keep talking about. So things are heating up. This is a crazy time, and we do need to be grounded in truth. Here's another one. Zero Hedge is a great source to get information from, folks. If you don't subscribe to it, Kathy's always sending me links to that. We're in your house. Let's go. Now, this is about this black militia, NFAC. And I don't know if you've heard about it, but they went down to Stone Mountain in Georgia for the Independence Day protest. And I don't know if you've ever been there. I have been before. It's kind of on the theme of Mount Rushmore, only these are some of the Confederate generals. They're in a full side view on their horses. It's magnificent when you see it. It's become a gathering place for the KKK and other radical groups. And what happened is NFAC, whose Grand Master, as he calls himself, Master J, assembled the group there for a show of force. And this group, not effing around coalition, marched on Stone Mountain on Independence Day. And they called out all the white militias as they protested. And this, like I said, is one of the largest Confederate monuments in the country. And it's a hot spot. It truly is. But it's part of our history, folks. And I hope you all know that slavery wasn't the primary issue for the separation. It was the method or the mode of economy. So, yes, the South used slaves, and slavery imported a bunch of poor immigrants from, at the time, mostly Ireland, and they treated them like slaves in their factories. And when they would wear out, they'd throw them away like garbage. They put them in row houses that the company owned, and they didn't pay them in money. They paid them in script, just enough to be in subsistence. So you want to talk about slavery? You want to talk about the moral high ground? You know, when President Lincoln declared the Emancipation Proclamation, it was only for the Confederate states. The slaves in the North remained bound. And yes, there were slaves in the North. So slavery became a political element to this because he needed the bully pulpit. But this was about economics, folks. Two different ways of living. So what I'd like you to do now is just take a listen to this this clip from Master J. I think it'll blow your mind. This guy is not effing around.
The whole nine yards, and then become the backbone for the military for a new black nation.
What is the solution to all of this?
Solution is very simple. We follow a Declaration of Liberation, declaring every African-American descendant of slavery a political prisoner here in the United States, and that was affected by the Portuguese slave trade. And then after that, The United States has a choice. Either A, carve us a piece of land out here. We'll take Texas and let us do our own thing. Or don't stop us when we exit this out of here and go somewhere where they will give us our own land to build our own nation.
What is your name and what is the...
I'm the official Grandmaster Jay. I created the NFAC.
All right. And how long have the organization been in existence?
We don't give that information out. Just how we'll tell you this. We're all ex-military. We're all very disciplined. We're all expert shooters. We don't want to talk no more. We don't want to negotiate. We don't want to sing songs. We don't bring signs to a gunfight. We're an eye for an eye organization. So when they decide to act right, we'll decide to act right. And we do it all legally, just like they do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, sir. Uhuru.
Folks, I need a laugh track right now. Just give us Texas. He wants Texas. Give me a break. The U.S. already carved out a piece of land for them. It's called Liberia. Yeah, that's not taught in history classes anymore. And this happened over 150 years ago. So we talk about retribution. Retribution was already served. The U.S. government established a place for these emancipated slaves to go and start a new life if they didn't want to integrate into this country. And sure, there was all kinds of prejudice and there was all kinds of racism. That's human nature. Racism goes on all over the place. What was Master Jay talking about? That's racist. He wanted to be in his own place. But I'm telling you one thing. Not all blacks are drinking this Kool-Aid. They're not. There's a lot of blacks coming out and speaking against this. This goes back to about 2014. Okay, and I think you all know who Morgan Freeman is. And I'm not saying he's a great guy. I've got some issues with him. But listen to this interview with Don Lemon. And boy, what a work Mr. Lemon is, or Lamone, or however you say his name. Listen to Morgan Freeman when Don tries to race bait him.
The whole thing, especially the president and Democrats now, are talking about income inequality. And that's basically what, you know, when you talk about the richest 85 people on the planet, right?
Yeah.
It's income inequality. Do you think that, looking at, you know, what's happening in the news now, is that a good idea?
It's a great idea. It is the greatest idea. We have a much more vibrant society when we don't have such a vast chasm between the haves and the have-nots. We need that middle ground that we call the middle class, the people who buy everything, people who use the products that the rich are creating, if they're creating anything other than wealth, right?
Right.
So it's what's happening with the Chinese economy right now. They're changing their whole outlook because they need consumers.
Yeah.
And without a middle class, you're not going to have consumers. You're not going to have it at the level that we normally would have it.
So can I go back to, because I thought what you said was fascinating, because you called it bull when you said people can't, you know, pull themselves up. Do you think that race plays a part in wealth distribution, or either a mindset that you can't
today,
or cannot? Yeah.
No.
You don't?
No, I don't. I don't. Hey, you and I, we're proof. Why would race have anything to do with it? Put your mind to what you want to do and go for that. It's kind of like religion to me. It's a good excuse for not getting there.
You know, I said, it's probably get me in trouble, but I said to some of my colleagues recently, so I know that it's an issue, but it seems like every single day on television I'm talking about race, and it's because of the news cycle, it's in the news, but sometimes I get so tired of talking about it, I want to just go, this is over, can we move on?
And if you talk about it, it exists.
Right.
Yeah. It's not like it exists and we refuse to talk about it, but making it a bigger issue than it needs to be is the problem we have.
So I understand you recently had a birthday. You're 27?
No. Got that on 37.
37, 37.
Yeah.
We have a little surprise for you. Can we get it? There you go.
Oh, no. That's more like it.
There you go. Happy birthday, sir.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you for joining us here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Appreciate you.
Wow. Don Lemon. You talk about this stuff because it's your agenda. CNN and most of the cable news networks, including Fox, you serve up commentary. You're not presenting information. You've violated the public trust, folks, because you all have an agenda. It's truly sad what I'm seeing going on in this country. But like I said, not all blacks are drinking this Kool-Aid. I played this clip a few weeks ago. It's a black woman defending President Trump, and she's right in the face of a bunch of white liberals. This is a black woman. And then listen how she ends this.
I would be in the same position. I'm not even mad at you, baby.
I'm feeling like news it's
all fake news. This is the thing. I know people don't like Trump. I understand that. But let me tell you something. If I had to pick between him and Joe Biden, I'm not voting in Joe Biden. You want to see a bunch of black people go to jail by the next 4 years? Put Joe Biden in place. Watch what happens. You want to see black men get killed substantially? Like you've never seen before, put Joe Biden in and watch what happens. These Democrats, and I'm sorry to say this, I'm not trying to be racist, but they hate black people. These are the same people who have fought to keep slavery in. These are the same people who built the KKK. These are the same people who hated us from the beginning. The Republican Party is the party of the blacks. Black freedom, the Republican Party is the only party that the black people actually assisted in finding. But all of that history has been torn away. People say, oh, there was a big switch. There was never a big switch. The union won because we had grown in the industrial era. So we were able to get trains and get supplies back to our soldiers while the Confederate was still riding horses. They were not able to get supplies back fast enough, right? So what happened was once slavery was abolished in the South, the people in the South could no longer make their money from slaves. They had to move to the North to work in the industry to produce. And so the people in the North that already had established themselves in the industry moved to the South. And so that's where it was a transfer of people coming from the South to the North and people coming from the North to the South. There was never a big switch. So the same Democrats who hated black people from the beginning are the same ones who hate us now. And they use our cause. How did Black Lives Matter turn into something about LGBTQ when blacks really don't support that? We're conservative about that. We're really not about that. Not only that, we don't support abortion. We're about workers. This is the black culture. We ain't ever been about that. Not only that, we're not about feminism.
No, we're not.
Black women marry their husbands and respect their husbands. That's what we're on. We're not on this, I do what I want. We don't do that. That's not our community, and you would understand. I know you understand what I'm saying. We don't do that. But yet these people are hijacking our movement, and the Democratic Party, they're trying to hijack our stuff. No. You want the benefit of Christ, but you don't want Christ. You got to accept Christ and all of his benefits, not just his benefits without him. There's no Allah, there's no Muhammad, there's no Buddha, there's Jesus. He's the one who died, he's the one who has keys to heaven. If you want to get into heaven, and if you want to walk and live on earth as it is in heaven, you have to accept Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Other than that, you will be chasing your tail. You will be chasing your tail.
I just got one question. I heard you say Jesus is the one and only way, right? Or at least the solution. I want to quote you.
Solution, and he's the only way to the Father.
How long y'all been waiting on Jesus?
Please with you, my God. Only Jesus, my people. Only Jesus. Black Lives Matter sounds good, but not Black Lives Matter can't save you. Only Jesus.
Black Lives Matter can't save you. Black Lives Matter didn't go on the cross for you. Black Lives Matter didn't die for you. Black Lives Matter can't grant you into the kingdom of God. Black Lives Matter can't do it, but Jesus can do it.
Jesus
can put you back in your rightful place.
This is about the people who have died.
As a king.
This is about the people who have died.
You are a king. You are a king.
And we know Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can get to the Father except through him. Truth.
No.
Period. That's all we're saying. If you say you believe on Jesus, you're going to have to comply with what he says.
So are you here for Jesus? Or are you
here
for
Jesus? Jesus is what I'm here for. Jesus is
for you. Wait, one more time. May I ask you?
I'm here for
look,
Jesus.
Look, one more time. May I ask you? Are you here for Jesus, which you can pray for every day, or are you here for the people who have died
Jesus is who I'm here for. Let's not get it twisted. Jesus.
Wow. She said a mouthful, didn't she, folks? So the point I'm trying to drive home here, and while we were playing that clip, I saw one more from a 2020 Young Conservative Conference. This is a black woman, okay, speaking out very, very clearly concerning the agenda of BLM. It's a shorter clip. It's only about 2 minutes. Listen to this, another black woman.
This Black Lives Matter thing, this isn't a cult. And they're beyond just trying to shout out Black Lives Matter. They're trying to make people bow. They're trying to make churches bow. Let me tell you something. I will never bow. I will never bow to LGBTQ. I will never bow to Black Lives Matter. I will never bow to Planned Parenthood because they're murderers. They were murderers from the beginning, and they'll be murderers to the end. They're liars, and the truth ain't in them. I will never bow to Black Lives Matter because guess what? All lives matter. My Bible says that in the body of Christ, there's no Jew, Gentile, male, or female. We are all one in the body of Christ. I wish I would take the time to be like, oh, I support Black Lives Matter, you know, because black people are treated unequally. Guess what? All people are treated unequally because we live in a fallen world. But let me tell you what Black Lives Matter want to do. Black Lives Matter is just like Antifa. They're another terrorist group. They just go about it a different way. They're basically Black Panthers reincarnate and KKK reincarnate, okay? And what they want to do is they want to get rid of our authority. They want to get rid of our police officers. And I'm not saying all police officers are innocent. I just got out of jail. I was in front of Planned Parenthood. They locked me up. At the end of the day, could you imagine a world without police officers? Could you imagine a world where there is no police force? What are we going to do? Because I'm seeing what they're trying to do, and I thank God for Trump. I thank God for Trump. Could you imagine if Trump wasn't in office? The type of stuff we would be going through right now? Could you imagine if Hillary Clinton won? Could you imagine? Listen to me. I don't care about whether you're black, you're blue, you're purple, you're orange. That does not matter to me. Do you know Jesus? Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? I meet a lot of black Israelites and a lot of black Muslims, and we can't relate because they don't know Jesus. Just because they're the same color as me don't mean they're my brother. I'm sorry, it don't work like that over here. They're not going to know my address. I'm not hosting them at my crib. They're not coming over knowing where I live. I'm going to meet them down the block. Because we don't have the same moral basis. And that's what a lot of you people fail to realize. Just because someone is the same color as you does not mean they follow the same moral code. You got people with...
Amen. I couldn't have said it better. That was beautiful. So remember Don Lemon in that clip with Morgan Freeman. And listen to all this. Kanye West, Morgan Freeman, this woman I just played who was defending Trump at the one protest. Now, her video went viral because of Candace Owen, another conservative black woman. And this one I just played at the 2020 Conservative Conference. I'm telling you, folks, black people are waking up. And the Democratic Party is losing their stranglehold over this voter bloc, and they're scared. So in that cycle, or that, I should say, that clip with Lemon and Morgan Freeman from 2014, Don Lemon talks about the 24-hour news cycle. Mr. Lemon, you're creating the 24-hour news cycle. You have an agenda. You violated the public trust along with so many others on the mainstream media. I'm appalled. And then here he's crossed the line with Chris Cuomo. Now, I don't know if you know the background on Chris Cuomo. He's a professed practicing Roman Catholic. And I'm not judging that. I'm just telling you the tenet of that faith is Jesus Christ crucified. And listen to this. And as Lemon talks, Cuomo nods in agreement.
Engaged in the discussion. But here's the thing. Jesus Christ, if that's who you believe in, Jesus Christ, admittedly was not perfect when he was here on this earth. So why are we deifying the founders of this country? Many of whom owned slaves, and in the Constitution, the original one, they didn't want, they put slavery in there that slavery should be abolished because it was the way the king wanted. And then the Congress said, no way.
Wow. So what's the answer to all this, folks? What do we do? How do we respond to this? These protesters that chant, no justice, no peace. How do you answer that? Well, last week my pastor hit a home run. He did. He discussed this topic. He preached what I called a very relevant and sensitive message concerning liberty and justice for all, with both grace and peace. Now, that's a really volatile subject, but he delivered it in truth with love. And that's how you have to share truth. If you share truth without love or love without truth, it's half the sandwich, folks. Picture eating a sandwich with only one slice of bread. It's not really a sandwich. Well, what I truly liked about this message that Pastor Todd delivered, and if you'd like to hear the whole message, it's at KiskeyValleyCommunityChurch.com or just KVCC.com. Look at the one for July 5th, 2020. But he didn't pull any punches. The core of the problem here is sin. And a lot of pastors today, they won't use that word sin. Instead, they dance around it. They try to sugarcoat it. But he nailed it, folks. He hit it out of the park. And then what he did is he brought it back to the end, just like that black woman did. Salvation is the key. And unity in Jesus is the key. And I'm telling you, it was powerful. And with his permission, I'm sharing these points. And like I said, you get that whole sermon at kvcc.com. But these are timeless truths, okay? And it fits perfectly with last week's message on our freedom not being free and what I shared with you the week before about liberty. And if you haven't listened to those two, go back and listen to them. But this message that he titled Liberty and Justice for All is so perfectly framed in grace. It's like gourmet icing on a chocolate cake. You know how a chocolate cake just doesn't have it, or any flavor of cake doesn't have it unless you put the icing on it. Well, Pastor Todd's message put the icing on what I've been trying to drive home in these last couple weeks. And you know what's really interesting, and I love it. I call them tried and proven verses, or just TP. I put it beside the scripture. And this is a tried and proven verse with regard to Proverbs 27:17, which says that iron sharpens iron. So I would have never thought to put these scriptures together the way Pastor Todd did. And that's just the power of the Holy Spirit moving through the body of Christ. So I want to walk through this, share some of these scriptures with you, and show you how we have liberty and justice for all. Right out of the Bible, folks. Now, this verse I want to share to start this whole thing was in the midst of a very tense crowd situation. Jesus was in the middle of it. The Pharisees were there and some of the muckety-mucks of the day with regard to the religious establishment. It's out of John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. Okay? And listen to how John put this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, that means truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So what's the core problem here? Is it the fact that there's an income inequality? Is it the fact that there's racism? Is it a fact that there's police brutality? Is it the fact that some people say you should wear masks and others say not? What's the core here? Sin's the universal problem, folks. In fact, every problem in the world today has its core in sin. So none of the attitudes, I don't care which side of a matter you're on, none of these attitudes got us into this mess we're in, and none of them are going to get us out. Sin's what got us into this mess. Selfish me versus them. That way of thinking, okay? And I call that stinking thinking. Any of you that have listened for a while know that I call that stinking thinking. That goes back to my primary teacher in the Word of God, who was other than the Holy Spirit, Pastor Adrian Rogers. And this stinking thinking, this me versus them mentality, goes way back to the beginning. You could read it in the story of the fall in Genesis chapter 3, or the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4. Think about it. What did Adam say to God? The woman made me do it. And then what did the woman or Eve say to God? The serpent made me do it. And then when Cain killed Abel, what did Cain say to God? Well, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 10, it says, And he, that's God, says, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth out from the ground. And then the way Cain answered God is, am I thy brother's keeper? Think about this. There's so many stories in just the past 24-hour news cycle which have this us-versus-them mentality. And folks, I'm telling you, my heart cries out, there's got to be a better way. And I've been so deep into this over the past 30 years. Those of you who have followed me from Tribulation Now and onto this SDG broadcast, you know that I worked with William Cooper in the past. I did all that research, and I thought all you had to do was wake people up to the truth, and all the things are going to get better. But the truth alone is not enough. You have to have the truth tempered with love, and God is love. And if you don't have the source of all truth, Jesus Christ, brought to you on a plate of love, it's not going to work. Simply picking sides isn't the answer, and that's what I'm trying to say here. And that's because God isn't on your side. God isn't on my side. God isn't on anyone's side. He's on his own side. He's not a Democrat. He's not a Republican. And that's what our focus scripture tells us today. Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he was getting ready for the battle of Jericho. You know the story when they marched around the walls of the Jericho seven times, blew the trumpet, and the walls fell down? Well, he was up on a summit, did his eyes up and looked, and behold, there stood a man over him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and saith unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And this man, he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now my pastor went on at this point to explain all the different interpretations of who this captain of the host was. And while he was doing that, I leaned over to Terry and I said, I believe that was one of the many examples of what's known as the pre-incarnate Christ. So there are these instances in the Old Testament where Jesus appeared, and this is one of them. And after he explained all of what the Bible scholars said, he said, but I think this is our Lord Jesus Christ. And to me, folks, that was a confirmation that this is iron sharpening iron right here. And that's why I'm sharing this with you. So he always is, always will be perfect, Don Lemon. He is without sin. Jesus is the Son of God and God the Son, Chris Cuomo. And he is, the Bible says that over and over again. I'm just going to give you a couple verses here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, referring to Jesus, who committeth no sin, nor was any deceit found in him. It means he was perfect. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he made him, that's God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. He literally became sin so that we could become justified, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize for our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Luke chapter 1, verse 36, the angel answered and said to her, this is the angel talking to Mary, the Holy Ghost will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And like I said, not only is he the Son of God, he's God the Son. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, and folks, I could go on and on. Jesus is perfect. He's always been and always will be. He's without sin. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. So being without sin, or perfect, Mr. Lemon, Jesus didn't take sides. He's a majority of one, the only majority of one in the entire universe. He stands alone. So as Christians, we shouldn't pick sides either. We should be on God's side. Jesus is the great emancipator. He will set us free. He unifies. He elevates all people, not just blacks, not just whites, not just the yellows, browns, the reds. No, he wants to give liberty for all, folks. Liberty and justice for all is found in Jesus Christ. So we should all follow him. Folks, this isn't some kind of deep state versus make America great again problem. It isn't. It isn't a Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci versus the world problem, or a BLM or an NFAC problem, folks. In fact, it isn't any human-to-human problem. None that we see in America today. This is a sin problem. And praise the Lord, Jesus Christ is the one who will emancipate. He'll set us free from sin. In fact, he's the only one who can. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father.
Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under no elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That's power right there, folks. Dynamite. So you've all heard the phrase that we can be set free by Jesus, and that's liberty for all. So what about justice? Well, these protesters, remember, they're saying no justice, no peace. Well, Jesus not only gives us justice, but he also gives us peace. So I could say liberty, justice, and peace for all. Praise the Lord. But it even gets better. Not only do we have peace with God, we get the peace of God. So let's look how we get all these things, okay, what that means. Okay, first of all, justified. And there's several verses on this. I just picked Titus chapter 3, verse 7. That being justified, how by his grace, through faith, unto good works, and I added that last part, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That means that you are freed from the penalty of sin instantly upon your salvation. And then we're sanctified. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And so much were some of you that ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. So that same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you and me and gives us the power to overcome sin through a process of becoming more and more like Jesus. And then ultimately, we're going to be freed from the very presence of sin as we're glorified. And Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So there's coming a day, either when he calls you home or when you have that twinkle and that instant and we're called up into glory. And then that day, we're going to be freed from the very presence of sin. So all this garbage we're seeing, we're going to be freed from it all, folks. Freed from the penalty, the power, and ultimately the very presence of sin. And then let me get going on peace. So we have both peace with God and we get the very peace of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified, how? By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're no longer at enmity with God. We're no longer at war with God. But then it gets better, and this is what I'm so excited about. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And Paul wrote that to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 7. So we literally get the peace of God. So in the midst of all this garbage that we get in the 24-hour news cycle, we can literally have the fruit of the Spirit born in us and through us as leaky vessels. But first you have to have the primary fruit, which is love. But it all comes through Jesus Christ, Mr. Don Lemon, Mr. Chris Cuomo. So by Jesus Christ, we can be unified. But Satan wants to divide us. Satan's agenda comes packed with all sorts of deceptions, folks. And a lot of times we don't even know we're under demonic attack. Now, to shed some light on how he destroys lives, and remember Jesus said in John 10:10, that I have come to give you life and to give you an abundant life, but beware that enemy because he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, God hates all forms of evil, and we learn that out of Proverbs chapter 3. So there's all sorts of things that happen in this world that God despises. He doesn't like arrogance and pride. He doesn't like it when people plot to harm others or oppress the poor or to stir up dissension. So if you see those things happening, that's under the guise of the enemy. And God detests these deceptions. And they happen in the very small recesses of our hearts. It may be something you hear on Fox or something you hear on CNN or something you catch on the internet, and it starts to fester. But praise the Lord, because in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, it reads, for as many of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, Paul tells the Romans to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we put on the Lord, he tells us what to do. When we put on the Christ, I mean Jesus, we've put on our salvation. And when we put on the Christ, we put on our authority under heaven to occupy till he returns. So when we put on Christ, we have his white robes of grace on us. We have his joy, his peace, his righteousness put on. Now, my pastor asked if you ever were running late and you had to go into a family gathering or something and you were working and you were dirty, so you just went in and kind of splashed your face and then threw on some clean clothes. You're still dirty. And you don't feel right. So don't try to do this if you haven't been washed clean by his blood. So before any of this will start to happen and manifest in you in a real way, you need to be washed by his blood. Just get on your knees and cry, Lord, I'm at my wit's end. I can't go any further. I can't do this alone. I am a sinner. I need you. And he's going to cleanse you with his blood. And then when you put those clothes on after a shower, you know how clean you feel and how good you feel when you go to that family gathering? In Jesus Christ, there are no longer any differences between any of us that are important. You heard that black woman. She defended Jesus Christ. She says, I don't have anything in common with my brothers who are Muslim. I don't have anything in common with them because she's my sister in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So Jesus' work on the cross made it so that none of our differences are relevant. Praise the Lord. And that includes our sex. And really, folks, there's only two, male and female. But there's no longer even any difference in us. And don't get into this equal trap. We are different, okay? Man is different than woman. Compared to fabric, man's like a piece of denim, whereas woman is like a piece of silk fabric. Both important, both serve a purpose, but different, unique, okay? But we're being told that we're all the same. But Jesus' work on the cross made it so none of these differences matter, including this differences in the sex, because we're all members of God's family. After getting born again through the spirit of adoption, remember what Romans chapter 8 teaches us. So in this inheritance, everything changes, and it's no longer a us versus them issue. So we ought to start feeling this unity in the body. And that's called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus has set us free. He's liberated us, folks. Isn't this exciting? Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 14 read, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So that's what I'm saying. You have to have love in this whole truth quest, or it doesn't work. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So if we want to pull this all together and find a term to use for those people or them or those blacks or those rebels, I think the term we need to use for all these non-believers is what's Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 14? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So it's not an us versus them. It's us and our neighbors. And what are we to do with our neighbors? We're to love them. And when we do, we fulfill the entirety of the law. Of course, you have to love God too. So it's not a matter of whose team you're on, folks, or what denomination you belong to, or whether you're blue or red or black or white. We need to stand with God. And when we stand with God, we've got to share the good news with others, just like Dr. Bartlett did with his good news about the COVID cure. We have to stand and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to. And I didn't have time in this message, and I'm running out of time now, so I have to get going. But if you look at what the founding father said, and perhaps next week I'll share some of these with you. This system of government, by the consent of the governed, never works unless the people are grounded in these truths that I just shared with you. And the founding fathers knew that. They did. So I pray that you stand in this truth and you walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and share this good news. Love your neighbor. And folks, I want you to know that I love you. And provided the Lord's willing, I'll be back next week with another message. But right now, let's lift our hands up with Chris Tomlin as we sing White Flag.
Dead high, we lift the cross. Dead high, dead high.